So today we're going to talk about, again, the road ahead. Everybody say the road ahead. You know, sometimes the road's not easy, is it? Sometimes it's a little tough. Sometimes the road has got a lot of dips and bumps and curves and all kinds of things. But no matter what, you still have to go down that road. I went down one the other day. My wonderful wife made a decision that we needed to just get out and drive. 7 hours later, I'm not lying. She had all mapped out all these courses I was going to drive to. And so we got to one road, and she said, "We don't need to go down this road." I said, "Oh, no. We're going down this road. It's on your thing. We're going down this road." Little did I know that that road was all dirt, single lane, going down a hill, and I wasn't in the proper vehicle to do that kind of stuff. And 2 miles one way. And if a car came approaching you, the fall off on one side, it was horrible. And I said, you know, I realized right then the road ahead is not what I needed. She said, "You should listen to me." I said, if I should listen to you, that's why I'm 7 hours out here in this car. But the roads are sometimes difficult, but they do take you somewhere. And God has a road for everyone in here. Turn to somebody and say, God has a road for you. But here's the news, and this is the title and the topic today. No one on this road of our life, no one rides solo. No one rides solo. I looked early this morning. I couldn't really sleep. I woke up at 2 o'clock and then 2:30, and then I stayed awake till 3:30, and then I got up right after that, because I just couldn't sleep, and a lot of thoughts and people come into my mind, and praying for different people. And I prayed for, matter of fact, Virginia and Michael, I prayed for y'all early this morning. I mean, it's just when God brings people to my mind, one being Pastor Kenny, he's in the hospital now, and his heart's. But anyway, I felt God woke me up, and I prayed for that, and I prayed for you. I pray for the church. Why? Because no one rides solo. But in this time, this song came to me. Just the words of it did. Barbara Streisand sang it years ago. I don't know if y'all are old enough to remember Barbara Streisand. But here's the words. I looked it up this morning. People who need people are the luckiest people in the world. Now, I've changed that word luck because I don't believe in luck. I believe in being blessed. So I say people who need people are the most blessed people in the world. Now, watch this. We're children needing other children and yet letting our grown-up pride hide all the need inside. Acting more like children than children. Does that resonate with you? Because it's really the truth. We need people on this road. There's no solo act. All of us need somebody. And in God's economy or God's kingdom, this is paramount now. In God's kingdom, it's imperative that you understand you need people and people need you, because there's no solo event. But decades before this verse that I'm going to read to you as an opening verse, decades before this time that we're reading about, the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Babylonians. In 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. With it, they took a lot of slaves. You can find all this in 2 Kings, the 25th chapter. I won't read that, but it's in 2 Kings 25, 8 through 10. You're going to find out that they took the children, and one of the men there, a man of God, a prophet, Nehemiah. And Nehemiah went to the king, the new king, and said, "I want to go and search out my land and see how the walls have fallen." And he went and he surveyed it, and he was very perplexed because the walls were completely destroyed. There was not a walled city. Jerusalem was in disarray. So Nehemiah says, let me just read this to you. You can follow along. It's in the New International Version. I can read it in either, but that's where I chose. Nehemiah 2:17 through 18. Then I said to them, this is Nehemiah, you see the trouble we are in? We're in trouble. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Atlanta lies in ruins. United States of America lies in ruins. New York is really in ruins. I won't get into that. I won't be political. You see the trouble we're in? Jerusalem lies in ruins. And its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. Why will they no longer be in disgrace? Because they built the wall of Jerusalem, building back the city. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me, because the king had allowed him to go. They replied, watch the reply, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. They began this good work. Now, this task, this call, this mission could not have been accomplished by Nehemiah alone. It would take a team of people. There's no I in team. It takes a team of people, like a football team. It's not one person. You say, well, if we had this one player, we could win. That one player would get killed if he didn't have a team around him, no matter how good they were. It takes a team of people because no one rides solo. But our culture, your culture, the way we were brought up, many of us, it celebrates independence. You need to be independent, an independent woman, an independent man, an independent child. Everybody's about independence. You need, but God's culture, let's look at his culture. God's culture builds movements through togetherness. Have you ever tried to, I used to use the illustration, I won't do it today, but I used to take people and sit them in a chair and have one person try to pick them up. But if you take two people or three people or four people around that same weight, they don't even break a sweat. It's just pick it right up. Why? Because there's strength and unanimity. There's a symmetry. There's a dynamic that many people are missing because we just feel like I've got to do it my own way. One of the greatest hindrances to the move of God is people in churches like this all around the world, and it's even affected our churches, where people rose up within the church and saying, I want to be independent, and I want to do it my way. And then they start little segments and little groups, and that was not what God called us to do. I want to show you this in a moment. That's just not what God called us to do. I don't care if it's my family or your family, it's wrong. It's absolutely incorrect. You wonder why power's not moving, why the Holy Spirit's not present? I'm going to show you. It's because we have separated and segregated and torn apart that which God said should come together. And that's just fact. So two can pick up a greater load, three, four. Yet we live in this world that shouts, do it yourself. I can do it myself. I don't need anybody. Buddy, those words, I'm going to tell you, you'll eat those words one day. I don't need anybody. I can do it myself. Yet heaven in all this, heaven whispers back. Heaven starts to talk. And it says, as it did in the beginning, it's not good for man to be alone. And I'm saying that today. It's not good that anybody sitting here today should be alone. And I'm going to take it now into the body of Christ in a moment. You cannot build, mark this down, you cannot build what God's calling you to build by yourself. Whatever God's asking you to do, you can't do it by yourself. I can't do it. My father couldn't do it. You can't build a business by yourself. You need people. People who need people are the most blessed people in the world. It's not good for man to be alone. That comes from the mouth of God. You can't build what God is calling you to build by yourself. What do you mean? The dream. How many of you have ever had a dream in life to do something? Now, if it's a God dream, you need to watch this. The dream He placed in you requires certain things. The dream requires, number one, partnership. Number two, it requires prayer support. And number three, it requires accountability. And number four, it requires unity. All those things are very specific to you making it in life. You need support and accountability. I'm accountable. You say, who are you accountable to? I'm accountable to ministries and ministers. Coy Barker's one. He's built major ministries all over the nation. One of another is James Payne. I'm accountable to him. I'm accountable to Michael Chitwood, which is the head of the ICCC organization that I'm involved in. You do understand I'm accountable. I'm held accountable. If they feel like I'm messing up, guess what they're going to tell me? You're messing up. And you know what? I need that. So we go back to the point. It's not good for man to be alone. You can't build the dream by yourself. It takes partnership. It takes prayer support. For those who didn't get it now, it takes accountability and it takes unity, or you're not going to go anywhere in business or in the world of God's world, the church. No one rides solo in this kingdom we're talking about. No one. God's vision always, everybody say always. It's not a maybe. God's vision always involves others. He didn't just call me. Say, I want you to be the East-West Church. I want you the ministry. I want you to just do this and you to do that. You is not in His language. He gives you a vision, but then He puts people around it. You know how you're blessed? When you get around it. People miss that. When you get around it. You don't have to be the head. Listen, you know how many times I wished I wasn't the head? I wanted just to be able to sit back and get the job done, because the buck stops in one place. And that's where God's holding you accountable. I'd much rather sit back and say it's Randy's fault. Wasn't mine. But Nehemiah had a vision, didn't he? A vision to rebuild the walls. The walls of Jerusalem, that holy city. But notice, even in this, he didn't do it alone. He didn't grab a hammer and a shovel and a pick and go out and say, I'm going to build the walls of Jerusalem. I'll handle this, man. I don't need y'all. I can do it all by myself. Now, there's a lot of people that will do that, and they'll say that. I've heard them, but they don't know what they're even saying. What did he say, though? He didn't say, I can handle it. He said, come. He said, watch this. He said, come, let us rebuild. Notice that word, us. Let us rebuild. Let us rebuild. Let us rebuild. Why is this true? He had a dream. But if your dream only fits your capacity, this is important, then your dream, it's too small. Did you catch that? If your dream only fits your capacity, that means what you can do personally, your dream is too small. Much too small. God's visions, the things that He's speaking to His church even now, God's visions are corporate, market. They're corporate, not isolated. He calls people and He builds teams. He calls people and He builds teams. It takes a team effort even when we come to the body of Christ. You know, everybody when I was a kid, I remember looking and watching all the moon things. Y'all remember that? The moon landings? And you think, man, that astronaut's, oh, man, that astronaut. I can't believe he did that. Well, let me just clarify that for a minute. NASA put a man on the moon. And we clap and applaud the man. But it wasn't one astronaut. No, there's a couple others. No. It wasn't just another astronaut or a couple more astronauts. It was 400,000 people behind the mission. Engineers, mathematicians, janitors, even seamstresses that worked on suits. All of these people were a part. So when they landed on the moon, it just wasn't that man. It represented 400,000 people working day and night to get him on the moon. The same in the body of Christ, the same in our lives. It's not just us being applauded. That means somebody behind us paid the price. They put their shoulder to the wheel. They helped you, and you helped them, and we made it together. Am I making sense yet? So the church, likewise, is heaven's launching pad. It's mission control. We're all a part of the mission. Say it, I'm a part. You are. Remember what I said when we started here? I said, we're no longer, this is not just a normal church. We're partners in this. We're partners in everything we do. If we're going to go forward, if it's because we're partners. I don't care if you're young, young married, you're old. It doesn't matter. Randy caught it. We're in this together. Together we stand, divided we fall. The church is a launching pad. We're all part of the mission. Every prayer, every time you serve, you welcome people, you greet people, you go around and talk. And I love the dynamics of this room. And let me tell you why. I've watched people speak to people that never spoke to people before. Am I right, Randy?
Yes, sir.
Jimmy, you see it? See, I watch. And I'm watching people communicate. And maybe God wanted this so that we could do something great because we didn't even know who we were. We didn't even know. We didn't understand how important everybody here is until now. So every prayer, every time you serve, and every giving, every time you give matters. And don't let the devil tell you it's not. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 4:9 in the New International Version. Watch this if you want to see how God thinks. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. You remember the old Eskimo thing? They get in there and they lay. Or I've seen movies where people are freezing. They lay real close together, even men. Are you getting it now? There's things that we need to do that our pride is stopping us. And our pride's going to cause us to die instead of living. Does that make sense to anybody in here but me? Listen, I'm not too proud to say, hey, Randy, I need you to pray for me. Mike, I need you to pray for me. Keith, I need you to pray for me. I'm suffering today. Listen, I woke up this morning. I didn't feel good. I really didn't. I felt a little nauseous and queasy and all that. Now I feel even worse. No, just kidding. It's the truth. But when we come together, there's an energy in this room called the Holy Spirit that heals. There's an energy that uplifts and makes you happy. I just can't tell you how excited I am about some of the people sitting here today because I believe you're going to go further than you ever thought you could go before. Where was I? If one falls, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And if two lie to get down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, here's key. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. King James says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. You understand that a threefold cord is not easy to break. One strand you can break. But you start taking thread, just regular sewing thread, and you start twining them together, it becomes very difficult to break. But we, as Christians and as inhabitants of the earth, we think we can do it all by ourselves. And I don't care if you're a salesman, you can't be a good salesman without somebody else. You got to have them. You can't be a good attorney. How many attorneys we got in here today? One, two. Is there any others in here? Y'all can leave now. No. You understand, you wouldn't be a good attorney unless there was clients. You have to have clients. If you work in the beauty industry, what do? Just work on yourself, or do you work on other people? You need people. Call us. You've got a business. But how long would your business go forward without people? It would die. The same is with the church. The church will die. And let me tell you something. This is for you. You may not believe me, but everything I've said in the last 20 years, and some are sitting here to know, when I say something, it comes to pass. We better be very careful in the United States of America. Because we're setting ourselves up for defeat. Setting ourselves up for failure. And one of the things they're going to come against is the organized church. They're going to come against it. They've tried through segregation, trying to keep the different races away from one another. That's not going to work. Now they're going to try it in different methods, different means. And they're going to try to break apart that which is God says, that which man, God has put together cannot be put asunder. But that's the way he's going to work. The enemy's going to try to work and try to come in. And it's going to come through things that we thought we would never be, we would never see in the United States of America, but we're going to see it. Just mark that down. I won't get into a great definition here, but I think some of y'all are wise enough to see what's going on. And it's going to happen. We're setting up to see Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we're setting up for one of the greatest events in the history of mankind. And all those that mocked him, I was reading Revelations this week, all those mocked him, they are going to be crying and wailing because they mocked the one that could give them eternal life. That strikes at my heart. How can anyone throw away eternal life? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands cannot be quickly broken. In Romans 12:4, it says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members," we all have them, don't we? And you know, you don't think they're important, but get up in the middle of the night and let your little toe get caught on a chair. You'll dance all over the room. You'll say things you never thought would come out of your mouth. I usually say when something happens, like, "Thank you, Jesus." Because, man, I can feel pain. If you don't think your little toe's important, just let it get caught on a chair. You understand real quick. And that's something you think you can do away with. Nope, you can't. So watch this. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, so in Christ we, though many, form one body." We're one body. Which makes us somebody. Who is somebody? Jesus. The Word made flesh is His people. Form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. Oh, that will preach. Each member belongs to one another. But there's a reason for that, because there's strength in unity. And when you get into isolationism, isolation is the enemy of impact. You will never be impactful if you get into isolationism. I want to be isolated. I want to be by myself. I want to do it my way. And I'm going to tell you, it'll never work that way. Watch a lion hunt. Watch predators hunt. What do they do when they see a herd? They cull out the weak ones out of the herd. They cull them out and then they kill them. You know what the enemy does to us? He comes in like a roaring lion and he roars trying to cull us out. And you get culled out real easy unless you are joined together. Loneliness. Have you ever felt lonely before? Loneliness is one of the greatest unspoken epidemics in the church and in the world today. Loneliness. Because we've been isolated. You can be surrounded by people, and I have before. And I've been in a lot of large crowds before. And you know what? Being with all those people, you'd think you'd feel connected. But I felt even more, felt more lonely, if that's such a word. I just felt more. I was alone. You can be alone in a crowd, right? You can be alone, even in ministry, you can still carry the weight by yourself. God never called anyone in this room, nor the pastor standing before you, to carry the weight by myself. He never did that. Yet we've tried to do it. I've tried at times. And God says, you're messing up. Because it is up to the people, just like it was up to Nehemiah's day. He said, come, let us build. The only way we can go forward. So we can be surrounded and still be lonely. But Nehemiah had a low moment. Oh, yeah. Nehemiah, in the time when this happened, when it came up, when he started looking at the walls, before the walls went up, he's looking at the situation. He sees the ruins. He felt the enormity of the task. It grieved him because he didn't, how is this going to happen? Now watch this. This is important. Well, God could have built those walls up in a day. He tore down Jericho's walls in a moment. Surely God could build those walls back up just like that. God could send one angel and get the job done. Now, hear me now. God didn't send angels to build that wall for Nehemiah. He sent people. Why? Because angels, this came to me early. Why? Because angels don't need the reward we do. Let me say that again. Angels don't need the reward we do. Angels could come in here today, which they're here, and fill this place up and let worship and praise go on and all kinds of things could happen. But they don't need the reward. They've got all they're going to get, but not you. You are those that are going to inherit eternal life and righteousness through Christ Jesus. And you just don't know how important that is, because when you see Him face to face, you're going to understand that He did all that for you. He did everything He did on the cross for you. It's going to be personalized. He did it for you so you could connect to Him and her and bring it all back to Jesus. So important. So important. So, the angels don't need what we, they don't need it. They got all they're going to get, but we need it. We need it. How many people need it? I do. Angels could come and bring, you may not believe this, but angels could bring gold in here today. They can bring stacks of gold. Heaven is paved with the stuff. But angels aren't going to get the reward. It's us. When we do it, how God blesses us. I don't know about y'all, but I hit some of the lowest moments in my life in the last 2 years. But I'm blessed. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. You know what I mean? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging bread. Although I was in a low moment, I refused to fall to the low moment. I've been sick in body, yes. I've seen a lot of things happen and a lot of people are dying around me. People that I've known for years passing away. But here's the deal. As long as you stay connected, the enemy can't touch you. Well, I sure am sick. Why do you think you're here today? God wants to help you. God loves you. Turn to somebody and say, God really loves you. Well, Bishop, I hear this thing about the angels and all. Now, don't y'all get too mushy back there. I really love you. Stop it. But Bishop, I hear what you're talking about, the angel and all, but you don't realize I'm burned out sometimes. I'm burned out. Let me tell you a little story about a pastor, and I know others have used this illustration, but there was a pastor that was burned out, and he said, I'm going to take a break from my church. That's like a squirrel saying he ain't going to look for nuts. Someone said, why do you keep preaching? I said, why does a squirrel climb a tree? And a fish swim. That's who I am. I'm going to preach. I'm going to minister. That's what I was called to do. I can't get outside my calling. But this pastor decided, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a little time. I need some time to find myself. I said that to my mother one time when I was a teenager. I had my tie-dye jeans on, bell bottoms. Y'all can't believe I'm that old, can you? And I said to my mama, I'm going to find myself. She said, let me show you where you are. She took me to a mirror and she said, there you are right there. You don't need to find yourself. I'll find you for you. My mother was a force to be reckoned with. I mean, if she didn't like it, she said, Alan, I will take off my high heel and I will stick it in your head. We need more mamas like that. Now you go to jail if you say that. Well, my mother didn't care because she would have done it. It kept me from doing what she, I didn't do it. You ain't going to do that. You're going to stay out those times. It didn't matter what time I came in. Guess who was waiting for me? My mother. I've been sitting there. I'm thinking, oh, surely she'll be asleep this time. And I creep in the door. There she is sitting there. I went, what? She'd say, are you hungry? That's a mother. Anyway, I'll get off that. I'll get emotional. But that's just fact. Just fact. I'm burned out. That's what the pastor said. I need time to find myself. But his mentor, somebody he really looked up to, walked in with him. He's sitting there at the fireplace, looking at the fireplace, watching it roaring, and the mentor just sits there with him watching the fire. And then he takes the tongs and reaches over and grabs a coal and sets it outside the fire and didn't say anything. And the pastor looked at the coal as it diminished in heat and in flame and got cold. He said, here's what he said. He looked over at his mentor and said, I understand. Because without the unity of the other wood, the flame will go out. He needed to be with the people. He understood that. He needed the people to stay on fire for God. He needed to be in the mix. You lose the fire. Watch this. You lose the fire when you disconnect from people. And the enemy works real hard to get me mad at you and you mad at me, or you envious of me, or me envious of you, or me jealous of you, you jealous of me. You see what he does? It's all about the fire. He doesn't want that fire to grow. Yeah, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. That's what the Bible says. Scriptural support for that is Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Whatever you're saying, don't swerve. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. I think King James says works. So you understand, it's my job to push you to do a good work. And you to push me to do a good work. If I get down, it's time for you to say to me, you can do it, Pastor. You can make it. It's time for me. When I see you, you can do it. You can make it. It's our job to lift one another up. Watch. Let us not give up meeting together. Forsake the assembling of yourselves, as in King James says. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He's speaking there of the day God would judge the Jewish people. In Galatians 6:2, he says, carry each other's burdens. How do we make it? By carrying each other's burden. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that powerful? That's the law of Christ. So together, we multiply. When we separate, it's division. The book of Acts, if you go to the book of Acts, which is a good read, that church didn't explode because of one superstar. It didn't explode because of one superstar or one preacher or speaker. It exploded because everyone was all in. They were all in this thing. Like many of you are here today. You wouldn't be here today if you weren't all in. You're all in. And I appreciate you and I applaud you. And God is blessing you and will continue to bless you. So that when all this happened, Peter had the opportunity to preach. You can read that in Acts. He preaches and thousands were saved. Thousands were saved. But the church cared for them. They got saved, but the church cared for them all. Isn't that powerful? So God's power flows where his people are united. God's power flows where his people are united. So if you think about a business, if you're starting up a business, or there's a movement for change, what do you mean? Like Apple or Microsoft. Think about those companies. They're major companies. Even a grassroots campaign. You're campaigning for something. Watch this. They grew because people called a shared vision and said, I'm in. I'm in. You say, well, that's easy to do. I'm in. No, no, no. When you say I'm in, that means something. It means you're really backing it. And that's when God steps up. That's when God looks at that little lady that's having a hard time but still connected. Or that man that's feeling isolated and depressed. Or that child that feels they have no direction. That's when God steps up. God steps up. He stepped up. How many of y'all, you felt God step up in a time when you really need him to be there? Yeah, they all said, I'm in Acts. Acts 2:44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he who had need. If they had a need, they supplied it. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. That's how it happened. That's the great explosion in Acts. the people became unified. Psalms 33 verse 1 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's pleasant. Sweet smelling savor in God. So what would I say to you today in the time we have remained? Don't let pride or past hurt keep you isolated. I mean, I made sure this morning that I touched base with several people that had sort of isolated me. And I said, I'm going to practice what I preach. And it made me feel a lot better. May it not made them feel better, but it made me feel better. Let me say that again. Don't let pride or past hurt keep you isolated. The enemy will try to destroy. This is something so powerful, even if I did say it. The enemy will try to destroy your seed. And if he, this is good. And if he can't destroy your seed, he'll work as hard as he can to destroy the fruit. Now that's, we'll preach. If he can't get your seed, he's going to get your fruit. But he's going to get something. And the only way we can fight that off is together. You praying for me, me praying for you, us standing together in unity. And then we can ward off the works of the enemy. Why does God have us in a place like this? Ask God. He knows what he's doing. I don't question God. Everybody wants to question me. Don't question me. Talk to the Father. He's the one calling the shots, not me. Well, what did we do then, Bishop? What do we do? Here's your word. Stay connected. Walk in unity. Walk in agreement. And then heaven will hear our prayers. We need to stay connected in worship like you did today. I watched many of you worshiping. Stay connected in praise. Stay connected in hearing the word of God together. And then we need to check ourselves and see where we have been fragmented and isolated. We need to check ourselves out. Where did I go wrong? Because if you're going wrong, you need to figure it out. And then we need to learn that word which so many people are afraid of, serve. Serve's not a bad word. It's a great word. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. Just maybe you need to check in with somebody like I did. Check in with somebody that you've ghosted. And see if God has a word for them, because he might. He might just have a word. Maybe you've ghosted a child, a son, or a daughter, or somebody else. You need to check yourself. Well, God might just turn these things around for you. Man, that's powerful. Here's the truth in all this. The enemy isolates to annihilate. But, everybody say but. But God unites to ignite. He unites to ignite. He puts it together so there can be a mighty flame. Let's look at truth for a moment. Here's the truth. You rise stronger when you rise together. You rise stronger when you rise together. We look at the wall of Jerusalem. If the wall of Jerusalem, the wall around Jerusalem got rebuilt, it got rebuilt because people worked side by side. Read it. They worked side by side. They wouldn't even put down the trowel to fight enemies. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. They never stopped their work. Imagine for a moment what could happen in a church like this if we did the same thing. Just imagine. You say, well, I'm not needed. Nobody cares. I don't show up. Nobody misses me. Speak for yourself. You are missed. There's a reason you're here. There's a reason you're drawn to this group of people and to this message. There's a reason, and only God, if you'll just follow Him, He'll show you. Only God can show you that. Your destiny, my destiny, our destiny is connected to your community of believers. It's connected. So that when I hear somebody in trouble, I pray. And then others, I've noticed y'all get on the get busy too. You don't have to say a long prayer, but you can say their name. Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, touch them. I'll write sometimes on Facebook, people ask for prayer, and I'll say, in the name of Jesus. You say, well, Bishop, I wish you'd write a lot longer stuff. I don't have to. In the name of Jesus, it shall come to pass. Because I can't do it anyway. My words don't save you. It's the authority of Jesus. So, destiny's connected to community, connecting together. When you build with others, you experience the power of togetherness. What it's like. In closing, Nehemiah said, let us start rebuilding. Let us start rebuilding. He didn't say, let me start. You see, your road ahead is much wider when we walk side by side. It's narrow by yourself, but when you walk side by side, the road gets wider. But we're afraid of that. We're afraid if we do that, somebody else will get the credit. I don't care who gets the credit. Get all the credit you want, because there's coming a day I'm going to get some credit. And you too. That credit's going to be everlasting and eternal. So when we walk side by side, our road gets wider. You don't need to ride solo, because God has already placed teammates and encouragers and co-laborers in your path. They're all there. So what do you want us to do, Bishop? Let's rise up. Atlanta should hear this. Let's rise up together. Rebuild together. And reach together. Because when people of God unite around the purpose of God, nothing can stop the move of God. Nothing. So here's my prayer. Lord, forgive us for trying to do life alone. Reconnect us to community. Reignite our passion for unity. And remind us that together we reflect your image. Strengthen every weary builder today. If you're a weary builder, strengthen them. And let us ride side by side to rebuild what has been broken in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's powerful. The old song said, ye who are weary, come home.